Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063, the game. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And, of course, we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Teron Davenport joins the party now. TD, you were at Rand Carthon's press conference on Friday. Your initial takeaways and your first impression of the Titans' new general manager.
Well, I think it's very clear what he came to do and what his goal is, and that's the collaboration aspect of it. That's the big thing he said, and he made some good points, especially when he spoke about being the best talent evaluator. Doesn't matter if you can't bring in the players, it's going to work for the coach's vision. So I was impressed with just the level of understanding as far as knowing what the job entails, and I think that's going to be a good thing. And I also really like the mutual respect that Coach Vrabel and Rand Carthon had for each other. It was clear that, you know, there's an understanding that they're going to work together and be productive. And one of the other things that just, you know, and knowing a bit about Carthon that's really good is he's not going to be afraid to stand up when it's time to stand up. So that's a strong thing. There are two personalities that I think are going to work together well.
Teron Davenport is with us. TD, he was asked both, Rand Carthon was asked about both Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. When asked about Derrick Henry, he said, yes, you have to have a run game if you want to win a championship. He was talking about sizing himself up next to Derrick Henry. He's been following him since his high school years. When asked about Ryan Tannehill, he says, you know, I just got here. We still need to evaluate. So two very different vibes when asked about Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. What did you make of that?
Yeah, well, it's two very different positions. And two very different players. I don't think there's really a conversation to be had about who's a top, at least at the very minimum, top two, top three running back in the league, Derrick Henry. So he's established, it's known what he is. Now, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, you could consistently see him top 15 or so, but that's top 15. This is a league, like he said, you get hired or fired every day off of that position. So naturally he's going to come in and get a further look. I'm sure he has an idea, and that's something that he discussed with team ownership and the crew there, Adolfo Birch and Bergney Hill. I'm sure he discussed his plan, but I think he said the right thing just in that it's too early for him to share that decision. So I don't think it's really something that to make, oh, okay, Tannehill's gone, or, oh, Tannehill's going to be back. I think it is a to-be-continued, an incomplete situation.
Yeah, you're right about that, TD, because the last thing you want to do is come in and alienate your players. Because if you come in and say, well, you got to have a franchise quarterback. Now, not only have you sort of put a bad taste in your quarterback's mouth, but you possibly could, you know, divide that locker room in a sense. You know, the guys that are standing behind Ryan Tannehill might take offense to that. And yep. The way you answer the Derrick Henry question, I mean, anybody can answer that. You can't say no. I mean, the guy, like you said, he has the skins on the wall. What, you going to come in and say, nah, we can't do it without we can't build our team around a running game? Well, Derrick Henry is, you know, a damn good running back, so you can't say that. But, TD, I do believe that ultimately you, in building your team, you tried it with Derrick Henry. It worked to an extent. Think Derrick Henry's getting a little older. Not to say he's still not one of the best backs in the NFL, because he is, but I think the dynamics of how you win needs to change moving forward, because you're looking at these quarterbacks that are in the playoffs and even those that are not in the playoffs. And if you don't find yours, then you're going to fall further and further behind, or you're going to have to do what San Francisco did and put a hell of a roster together where you don't put the pressure on the quarterback to win.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Change is imminent, right? And they've tried this whole program of playing perfect football around Ryan Tannehill, and it just didn't exactly get them to that point where they could win a Super Bowl. And I think also it goes back to the talent evaluator part of it and bringing in the right guys. And you look at A.J. Brown, he was the right guy, because one of the things I know in talking to Rob Moore, he always stressed with AJ and with all the receivers, hey, get 1,000 yards on 50 to 60 catches. That's what we have to do, because that volume is not going to come. So that's an example of, you know, being the right guy for that team, and I think that's what they feel Treylon Burks was going to be. So, I mean, you're right, and it's going to have to be a situation where you have to adapt, and you got Joe Burrow and these Bengals, you know, playing physical, but also being able to shoot it out with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. You know, you got the Chiefs able to do what they're able to do. So you're in this conference, and even the Jaguars now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be able to play physical, but also you have to be able to, when it calls for it, put some points on the board. And I'm talking about over 25. You know, you got to be able to put that 30 to 40 up there when necessary.
Do you think it's strange that, you know, Vrabel chose, and I get why he chose to fire down, and I get it. It just wasn't working. The offense was looking inept at times, more times than not. And then he chose to fire the offensive line coach as well. But when the question was asked about the special teams coach, he sort of made this excuse for him. Well, why didn't you make that for the offensive line coach? And then, ironically, you chose to keep the quarterback's coach in play when Malik Willis doesn't look like he's been developed. You got rid of Woodside. Why? For whatever reason, you didn't think he was better than Malik Willis, so you got rid of him. But, again, you chose to keep the guy that has the responsibility of developing these young guys.
Yeah, well, Woodside, you know, the Falcons, they grabbed him off the practice squad and put him on the active roster once the Mariota situation got.
But you might as well have let him go, because you could have, anybody can come and get you once you're on a practice squad.
Yeah, no, they put him out there to be plucked if need be. So, I mean, you're right there. I think, you know, the thing with Malik Willis, and Vrabel kind of touched on it, and I talked to Pat O'Hara, the QB coach, about it as well, was a lot of the development for Willis was hampered by them not being able to go like full speed. Like, they had to go at almost a walkthrough pace for about 6 weeks of the season, you know, so that made it a lot more difficult for them to actually develop him. So I think that does come into play. But, I mean, you know, I don't think they had terrible play from the quarterback position. So I could see keeping Pat O'Hara, and then obviously we know they have history dating back to the Houston days. So, but the offense, you know, that in itself, as you mentioned, it was understood why Ty Downing got relieved of his duty.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I want to give you some accolades here. When I got home from the press conference, the first thing my wife said was, I love Teron's tweet to bring out the personality, the Air Jordans, the style of Rand Carthon. I thought that was just a fun thing where a guy's you think about it. We talked about this on Friday. That's the first time he's really led a press conference, I would think, right? Unless maybe he did it at Florida, but, you know, when he was playing. But as a GM out front, like, he's been a behind-the-scenes guy, but I thought he came across so well and personal, and the style was a big part of it, so thank you for your visuals with a lot of that.
Yeah, no, he was extremely polished. And he came into the media room before the press conference, and, you know, he just talked to us, introduced himself, and I thought that was really impressive. And that's when I first saw the fit, and I was like, hey, man, I appreciate you. And then, you know, seeing his family come in, it was actually, you know, honestly, it was Michelle Knezovic. Michelle pointed it out, and then I looked, and I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that is true. Look at that. They have the two-tone Air Force Ones, the high tops. He had the low tops, the flip of the color. And, yeah, man, it was – I appreciated it.
That was great. So, Teron, here's a question that I don't think really came up in the press conference. Rand Carthon, his background is scouting. You could tell how much he loves evaluating players. He that's been his passion for a long, long time. Part of the equation with the GM also is the salary cap, the capology, let's just call it that. I don't know what his background is with that. And also, what's his philosophy? Is he going to use the people that are already here to lean on there, or does he have a person that he's got in mind to come up with it? What about that part of it? Because that goes hand in hand with what you were saying before. You can evaluate the players, but you've got to find ways to get as many of them on the roster as you can. And sometimes that means knowing how to work the cap.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And one of the things that was lost in there, and I kind of recognize it because I'm very familiar with the 49ers organization, he mentioned Parag Morate as a guy who opened him and exposed him to different parts of the process that he didn't know about. Well, Parag has been in place there with the 49ers since at least, 2000? He goes back to the Singletary days. We're talking 2008, 2009. Hmm. And he has done everything within that organization, from orchestrating trades to different things like that, arranging, helping get Super Bowl 50 there, like all types of stuff. So I say all that to say this. He is one of their salary cap specialists. He is their salary cap genius, so to speak. And so that was an opportunity, and a very, very deeply analytical type of guy. He's in analytics a lot. And you heard him mention Demetrius Washington as mm-hmm. well, one of the analytics guys who helped them find Elijah Mitchell. So what happens there, I'm sure that he got a lot of stuff from Parag just as far as understanding the cap, but he is huge on this collaboration aspect and not coming in and flipping the tables around, right? And, you know, so he said it too, that he's going to come in and it's easier for one person to adjust to 20 to 25 than all 20 to 25 adjusting to one person. So long story short, I think Vin Marino is still going to be a very powerful person when it comes to cap, and he's one of the Titans guys who has done that. But you could see, again, that word, collaboration. Hey, look, when we negotiated Kyle Juszczyk's contract, when we negotiated Jimmy Ward's contract in San Francisco, this is how we did it, and these are the things that we look at. What do you think of this, Vin? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Teron Davenport is with us. TD, last one for you. Do you think the Titans' open OC position is an attractive one?
I don't, to be honest with you. I don't think it is. I mean, right now this roster doesn't have an abundance of playmakers. It is designed to be built around a running back, right? So it's probably not the most attractive option, but I think it's one of the more challenging ones. And it's all about ego, right? You know, guys want to come in and say, hey, you know, I could turn this thing around and make this offense, you know, electric like it was a few years ago with Arthur Smith. So while it may not be the most attractive one, I think it's the most challenging one, and that I think in itself is attractive to intense competitors.
TD, appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, TD. Have a good one. Again, Teron Davenport joining you at the show as he does every Monday at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, someone who I love very, very, very dearly said something stupid, and we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.